I want to speak this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 10, and especially to draw your attention to verses 27, 28, and 29, which we'll read again. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep, this is Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. These are beautiful words. And we could read them very slowly and linger over every word and every phrase and every clause. Because every single word of God is true and pure and perfect. Who do you belong to? All of us were born in this world. Our circumstances may vary. Some of us may be born into a large family. Some of us may have a more lonely childhood. But all those things are in God's hands. But what this verse is about and what Jesus is saying is that there are a people on this earth who belong to him, who belong to Jesus. Now this is what I want to first set before you and to speak and ask this question. Who do we belong to? We want to belong and be included. We want to belong to the community we live in and be accepted. We have our families who we may belong to, or we want to belong to. But do we want to belong to God? Is not this the greatest privilege and blessing that any could know? Any person, any man or woman, boy or girl could have, to have this badge of membership. To belong to Christ, to belong to God. Well, Jesus is here speaking, and he is saying that there are a people on this earth who belong to him, and he calls them his sheep. And we have something very wonderful set forth here, and that's Jesus as the Good Shepherd, who cares for his sheep. People on this earth, and who are they? Now, thankfully, we have them identified before us in this word. Look at verse 26. He says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." That means that those who believe in Jesus are his sheep, and they belong to him, and he is their shepherd. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Isn't the truth that Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd of his sheep, a wonderful truth? The shepherd is one who's meant to care for his sheep, to look after his sheep. A shepherd must have a tender heart, a heart of compassion to help the sheep when they are wounded or diseased, to nourish them. If they go astray and break through an hedge and go into another field where there's danger, to go after them and recover them and restore them. Now Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. That means he will do these things. He cares for his people. He nourishes them. And also the office of a shepherd, particularly in Israel and in the Middle East and those areas, is to lead the sheep to places where there is fresh grass and plenty of water, and to places of safety where the sheep can live and grow, where the sheep can become strong and fat. Now Jesus says he is a good shepherd. He will lead his people. We need Jesus to lead us. Is Jesus leading you? Are you following him? Now Jesus says in verse 26, he says, "But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." And he is saying that those therefore who believe in him, or that all his sheep believe in him. In verse 27 he goes further. You know, it's possible to say that we believe in the Lord and yet not do what the Lord says. It's possible to say that we believe in the Lord, but just to say it, and not really believe in him, not really trust in him. But this is one mark upon the sheep, that they all believe in God. Now there's some wonderful things here. Jesus says that not only do his sheep believe in him, but they hear his voice, and they hear his voice because he calls them. And he knows them. That's why they believe in him, because he calls them. And he calls them because he knows them. And, this is most important, they follow him. There, the sheep are truly identified. They must believe. They must hear the shepherd's call. But the real mark upon them that they're sheep and they belong to Jesus is that they follow him. This is what Jesus is saying. But first, what I want to do is to say here in verse 27, these wonderful words that Jesus says, is to highlight and notice God's sovereign grace. If you believe in Jesus and you are following him, it's because he has called you. If you are believing in Jesus and you're seeking to follow him, and you're seeking after him, it's because he has found you. And if you are believing in Jesus and seeking after him, that's no mistake or just accident or perchance, or it wasn't even up to you. It's because Jesus is calling you, and he knows you, and he knew you before you knew him. So that's what we have in verse 27, God's great grace. If we are a believer, if we are following Jesus, we've been called by his grace. It's a very comforting, wonderful truth. Bless God, it's the truth. And then in verse 28, we have something else that's very wonderful. Jesus says concerning those who believe in him, who follow him, that he gives them something so wonderful: eternal life. A life that will never die. A life that's full, joyful. We can see in, if you look at verse 10 of this chapter, John's Gospel chapter 10, verse 10, we can see that Jesus says there the great difference between him and those who he called thieves and robbers. He, the good shepherd. Now the thieves and robbers in the immediate context may refer to the religious leaders in Israel, in the Jewish leaders, who were very strict outwardly. They wanted to do everything right, or make it look like they're doing everything right, but they did not love God, and they did not love their neighbour, and they did not love that blind man whom Jesus healed, and they did not love Jesus. They rejected Jesus. May God help us to take that into our hearts, that we may look just right in the eyes of men. But do we love God? Do we love Jesus? And do we love our neighbours ourselves? Now Jesus said, then in verse 10 of chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's saying they're not true shepherds. Those who have evil in their hearts and hatred in their hearts, they're not true shepherds. But now he says, I am the true shepherd, the good shepherd. And he says in verse 10, this is a great contrast. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. This is a wonderful truth that Jesus is asserting and saying. It's not just that they will exist forever. They could exist miserably forever. It's not just that they will continue as a human being, which all men and women will. It's that they will be blessed. They will be joyful. They will have the fullness of life. Where is that found? Where is life found? God's presence. There's no life that's worthy to be called life outside of God's presence. Even the life that we enjoy in this earth, it only comes from God's goodness. It comes from God's hand. If God should withdraw his favours and take his hand away, and everything is plunged in darkness, and we will be in despair, misery. We need God. We need God even now. But this world is not going to continue as it is now. For one thing, we're going to die. We need God. We need hope beyond this life. We need a hope of heaven. What's heaven? The place where God dwells with his people and the angels. Where he blesses them. Where they enjoy his presence. In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Where they shall have communion uninterrupted with God. Where they shall know the joy of the Lord. That's life. And a human being who knows God's presence, God's blessing, God's smile, communion with God, is very, very happy, is satisfied. We all want to be happy, don't we? We all want life. But do you want God? We need God. Oh, if we want to be happy, we need God. We need God's smile. We need to be with God. Now, Jesus says in verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life." A promise. You see that God will give them. Jesus will give them. That through Jesus they shall receive the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and that forever. Now I just want to notice that as well, very briefly. And thirdly, in verse 29, this wonderful truth of the Father's love. He says, "My Father which gave them," that's the sheep, "to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The Father's love. He chose us. He loved us with an everlasting love. If we believe in Jesus and are following Jesus, not only has Jesus loved us to give us eternal life, how does he give us eternal life? Because he laid down his life for us. Brings us near and back to God. But the Father loves us too. And all these things should incite us and stir us up to follow Jesus more closely, to follow him more fully. So he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You might say, how do I know if I've heard the voice of the Good Shepherd of Jesus? At the beginning of chapter 10, we read more clearly how the sheep hear Jesus' voice. In that parable at the beginning of chapter 10, he says, concerning the shepherd of the sheep, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." So what we have here is a picture of a sheepfold with lots of sheep inside it. But some of those sheep belong to a shepherd. And in this case, we're talking about the Good Shepherd, Jesus. So this is just a picture setting forth some beautiful truths of God and God's love to his people and Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. So we have this picture of a sheepfold or a pen with lots of sheep inside. And Jesus says that the Good Shepherd, or the shepherd, is the one who comes through the gate or the door into the sheepfold. There are many other shepherds who climb over the walls. They don't come through the door. Now that's very important. Jesus later says that he is the door, as well as the shepherd who goes through the door. What does it mean? Well, doors are very important things. Without doors, our life would be very difficult. Through doors, we have access to places where we want to go to and need to come into or go out of, such as buildings and homes and other places. For sheep, they need to go into the field. They need a gate, a doorway. Now, Jesus said that the shepherd enters through the door into the sheepfold. So we might consider then this door as being the door of God's word. Do you know that if there are things in your life and mine that are contrary to the word of God, they won't stand. God's word will stand. It's a revelation to us of God's will, and of God's mind, and of God's purpose. Now the wonderful thing is that when Jesus came to this earth, when he came to the Jewish people, when he came to the Jewish sheepfold, he was the fulfillment, he was fulfilling God's word. He's fulfilling the promises of God's word, the prophecies of God's word, the law and the precepts of God's word. Now Jesus sends forth ministers even now, if they come not through the door of God's word, they must not be received. They must bring the truth of God's word. Jesus said that God's word testifies of him. And we know that in John's gospel there's this wonderful truth brought before us that Jesus himself is the word of God. In him is fulfilled all of God's promises and God's counsel and God's purposes. In Jesus is God's will revealed to us. So Jesus is not only the shepherd, he's the door. But when he comes into the sheepfold, there's all these sheep. Now, he came to the land of Israel, to the Jewish people. He came with a purpose, to save his people. That's not everyone who was in Israel. But we read here, but the shepherd of the sheep, he enters in by the door into the sheepfold, to him the porter openeth. In other words, he has access. He has the legal right. He has authority to enter. He has permission. Why? Because inside that sheepfold, he has some sheep who belong to him. And so he comes in to the sheepfold, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So here we have the shepherd coming in and calling certain sheep. He says, by their names. Which means he calls them individually. How does the shepherd call sheep by their names? Because he knows them. He knows who are his people. Before he entered the sheepfold, he had a people, a sheep who belonged to him in that sheepfold, and he calls them by their names. What is this speaking to us of? Simply this, that Jesus is the Word of God. And when the word of God enters into your heart and has an effect upon you and speaks to your heart, when God's word speaks to your heart, Jesus is calling you by your name. He knows you. You're his sheep. And he's calling you to come to him and to follow him. So there's a relationship in your life if you are a sheep who belongs to Christ. A relationship in your life between you and God's word. Between you and Jesus. And those two things, the relationship between you and God's word and the relationship between you and Jesus, they cannot be separated. You cannot have one without the other. So then we may consider this wonderful truth. Oh, look back in our lives. Think about your life. What has God done for you? Was there that time when the word of God entered into your heart? Where it had an effect upon you? Where it brought you to come in prayer to Jesus. It brought you to follow him. This word calls us to follow Jesus. It calls us to come to him. This is God's great grace to you. He came to you. So may God help us to think upon that wonderful truth. Now, just before we come to the second thing about the good shepherd Jesus, giving those sheep whom he's called. He sent his word into their hearts. And what happens when the word of God enters into the heart of man? When Jesus speaks it into the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, light comes. Spiritual light and understanding. And our eyes are awakened to see things that we never saw before. We realise our need of a saviour. We realise our need of Jesus, the Son of God. And so we begin to repent and turn and come and put our trust and faith in Jesus alone. The entrance of God's word gives us light. It gives us understanding in our simplicity. He makes us wise unto salvation. My sheep hear my voice. Blessed be God if you've heard his voice. If his word has entered into your heart and you're now a follower of Jesus, and you're now seeking after Jesus, keep close. If you're following Jesus, you need to keep close, don't you? Therefore, keep close to God's word. Don't neglect God's word. Don't neglect to read it every day. Sometimes we do. We forget to read God's word. We forget to prayerfully search it. And then we go astray. But this word calls us to return. Jesus came not to destroy men's lives. We're already destroyed and broken. He came to redeem and save men's lives, and yours too, you who are seeking after him. So it's a wonderful truth that Jesus spake here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And very briefly, he doesn't make a mistake. He has not made a mistake. He didn't come to the wrong person. He didn't come to one whom the Father had not loved and whom he had not chosen and whom he did not know. That's another wonderful truth. He knows you. How much, when he knows this word knowledge, he knows you, he knows about you. How much does he know about us? Because there are different degrees of how much well we can know someone. You might know someone who lives next door to you. How well you know them will vary and depend upon how much you speak to them, how much time you spend with them. So Jesus says, I know my sheep. What's the depth of his knowledge? How well does he know his sheep? Well, we need to understand who Jesus is. He made the worlds. He's God's eternal only begotten Son. You know, we read in Psalm 139 concerning God. The psalmist said that God, the Lord God, was acquainted, had knowledge, and knew about all his ways. When Jesus says, I know them, he even knows them better than they know themselves. He knows everything that's in their heart. He knows everything that's in their circumstances. Now, this is a wonderful thing. He knows his sheep. He knew them before they knew him, before they know him. And he knows their personality. He knows the circumstances they were born in. He knows their childhood. He knows where they are at this moment. He knows their faults. He knows their weaknesses. He knows they're born in sin. But this is why he came, to help them, to give them life. He's a good shepherd. He came to bring them to better pastures, to bring them from where they were. So this is where we come to our second thing, but remember this, Jesus has not made a mistake. If his word has entered your heart, he knows you. But not only does he know all about you, he knew you before you were born. In Psalm 139, we read that truth again. He knew the psalmist when he was in his mother's womb, even before he was in his mother's womb. And when Jesus was on this earth, he said he laid down his life for his sheep. He knew his sheep when he was on this earth, when he was on the cross. He died for his sheep. We must not think, and it would be strange to think, that Jesus had no idea who he was dying for. Of course he did. But you know, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. In fact, he made the worlds. He made the earth. Jesus knew us. He knew his sheep even before the worlds were made. We read that in Ephesians that we were chosen in him, that's in Christ Jesus, before the foundation, before the world was made. And that means that no incident or circumstance in time can change your relationship with Jesus, can change his love to you, his grace to you in calling you. He makes no mistake. Blessed be his name. Secondly, he says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're not worthy, are we? We need Jesus. We need life. What a gift. We're dying, aren't we? What is death a picture of? Separation. Death is not what man was made for. Death came because we sinned against God and we're all dying. We need life. Death is a picture of separation. Now, blessed be God, those who die in the Lord, they die in hope of a better resurrection because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because he died and rose for them. But death in itself is an awful, tragic picture of separation. It reminds us we've sinned. It tells us we need Jesus, the Saviour. We need life. We need eternal life that death can't snatch from us. A life that will endure and outlive death itself. Jesus gives eternal life. He's a good shepherd. He leads his people not just to earthly green pastures, but to heavenly green pastures. He's gone before his people not just as some earthly preferment, some good place in the earth. No, he hasn't even done that. He's gone before his people into heaven itself in the presence of God. And that is where he leads his people. That is where he is leading his people to God's right hand. Are you on that journey? How do you know if you are? Are you following Jesus? He will bring you to God's right hand. He says, I give unto them eternal life. Now, how does he do that? He explains it to us in verse 11. So in verse 10 he says, I am come that they might have life. We all need life. We all want life. As human beings we need life. Death is a picture of separation, but separation from God is a real picture. It is a real meaning of what death sets before us. And if we're separated from God, there's no life, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no rest, there's no light, there's only darkness, despair, misery. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. And then he says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now this is a theme that he comes back to in the following verses. He says again in verse 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and are known of mine. He cares, that means he cares for his sheep. He knows about them, their circumstances, the way he's leading them. He knows all about their life and their thoughts and their personalities. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And they begin to know him because he speaks to them. He communicates to them. Blessed be God for the scriptures. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. This shows us the depth of his knowledge of his people. How much does the Father know Jesus, the Son of God? It's immeasurable, the depth of their relationship, the depth of their love to each other. God is infinite. He says, in the same way I know my sheep, in a similar way. He knows them very well. He cares and loves for them very well. But he says in verse 15, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's the same truth that he said in verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then again he says it again in verses 17 and 18. He reiterates that he's laying down his life for the sheep. Why does he do that? He lays down his life for the sheep to save them. To save them from death, from separation from God. He laid down his life as a sacrifice. Now, if we lay down our life as a sacrifice, we do it to save another person's life. And that's what Jesus did when he laid down his life for us. But when Jesus laid down his life to save us, there we have the greatest proof that he cares for us and that he loves us. He loved us so much. He laid down his life and suffered, and his human life was torn from him by that death which he willingly yielded to, and he willingly laid down his life. He didn't do it unwillingly. He did it because he had to do it, but he loved to do it. He had to do it if we're to be saved, if we're to live and not die. He loved to do it. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. So we have this wonderful truth. And I give unto them eternal life. We have the proof of it. He's laid down his life for us. That is how he gives us eternal life. His life answers for ours. His life he freely gave for us. When he laid it down for us. Like Paul wrote to the Galatians saying, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what Jesus is saying when he says, and I give unto them eternal life. To do that, he must save us from death. He must give us literally his life. He must give it up for us. What a gift is the cross. There we're saved from death. There we have eternal life. Now he also says, as we come to a close, and they shall never perish. And one of the reasons why they shall never perish is because Jesus has died for them. These sheep who are following him, they can't follow a better shepherd. They're following one who loves them so deeply, who has power to bless them. One who had power to lay down his life to save them. That's what we read in verse 18. He alone, no man took his life from him. He had power, authority to lay it down. And he has power to bless you and to give you life. This is what he's done. So he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then just lastly, he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. There we have this doctrine of electing love, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, the Father's everlasting love, my Father which gave them to me. If you've been called, if the word of God has entered you, if the word of God has entered into your heart, given you light, and you've become a follower of Jesus, it's because God the Father has given you to Christ, even before the world began, because God the Father loves you. Behold, we read in the scriptures what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The Father's love. Now, what does Jesus say here? He's speaking as a man. He was a real man. What a condescension that was to become a real man. He says, my Father who is greater than all, the fountain, the source of all life and all creation, there's none greater than the blessed Father, the God and Father, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now this precious gospel, Jesus Christ coming, brings to us the Father's love, is a revelation to us of the Father's good will and good pleasure. And so Jesus says in Luke 22, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The eternal God, the infinite God, the self-existent God, the unchanging God, the most holy, the one who is almighty, the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the Father of consolation, the Father of life. Surely, if he has loved us, if he has provided a good, the best shepherd for us, if he has given us his own beloved Son, will he not? Are we in danger following Jesus? As it were, is our salvation in jeopardy? May God help us to follow Jesus and rest in the Father's love. Amen.